us. So thank you for the offering for us. Helps us to know, Lord, that there's only one place that we can find the true peace that passes all understanding. That's in your presence. We pray, God, this morning that you will capitalize upon that desire in our heart, Lord, that you've placed there, that you would draw us to yourself even more this morning, Lord. God, that at the end of this service and at the end of this day, each one of us, Lord, will be just one notch higher, Lord, in our walk and into your presence, Lord, and to be surrendered more like you. There's not a person on this earth, Lord, that we need to mimic. But Lord, it's you that we want to be like. So we pray, God, that you would come down this morning and mold yourself into us, Lord, into your character, into our hearts. And make us a people, Lord, like you have said in your word that we have on this earth just prior to rapture, Lord. We have a desire in our heart, and we hunger for that. And we believe, God, it's time for your people to take on that full image of you. We ask, God, that you bless us in this service this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. You love the Lord.
Amen.
And let the musicians go ahead and go to their seats. I want to thank you for praying for me. I feel a whole lot better. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And whenever, when you're all healthy and you're going along and have no troubles, you just kind of forget what it means to have good health. But then when you get down and sick with something, you sure miss it.
Amen.
So I praise the Lord that, you know, he's come through, and I feel a lot better now. And I know we each one as individuals, and we as a church, different ones through the church, we go through cycles, and it seems like the devil will try just to sweep through. But that's his job, right? That's the job of the devil to do that. But it's our job to fight him, and it's our job to defy him, right? And so that's what we certainly want to do every day. We certainly want to do that this morning as we get into the Word of God. I'm glad for God's presence and his help. And so just want to mention before we get into the service that we will have communion service. We're going to rush out to lunch really quickly, as quickly as we can. Lunch being quickly. And we'll try to get back pretty quickly and have communion service. And so we hope that each one of you can be with us. And if for some reason you're not going to be able to, then you can see me afterwards, and we can see about serving communion to you before you leave. But we would prefer that if we could, that we could just rush out and come back. So we won't take a lot of time this afternoon so people can be on their journeys. But we certainly don't want to rush the Lord. We want to give him the time that he deserves and the honor that he deserves. So let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 17 and 18. Kind of jumping into the scriptures, kind of midstream here, but you bear with me and we'll get where we need to go. And so this is Paul speaking. Amen. Paul says, for our light affliction. Now, I want to say something. Every one of us feel afflictions. Right. Every one of us are going through trials and battles and that sort of thing. And the devil wants you to think, we got just a little bit of high-pitched ring up here, Ben. The devil wants you to think that your trial is worse and is just absolutely going to overcome you, and you're just not going to be able to stick your head up above it by the time it's over with. But I want to tell you that the scripture says it is our light affliction. Right? And I say that because how many of us are children of God?
Amen.
And I don't know any child that was ever been born but what they needed the counsel of their parent. Because it's natural for children to begin to think they know what things are, and they really don't. They need the counsel of the elderly, and the counsel of the wicked, the white-headed, not the wicked, but the counsel of the white-headed, the gray-headed. I'm trying to think of the name, what they call it in the scriptures, the whorehead, I guess. They want the counsel of that and not the counsel of the wicked. And so that's what we certainly want from God, is to hear what his word is. So if we want to form an opinion about something, an opinion about the way we should live, or opinion, we certainly don't want to go to some wrong source.
Right.
We want to go to the word of God because we are children of God, and so that we get the guidance that we need from him. And so I, as a child of God, need the Word of God to guide me. I don't want to have an opinion about something that's my idea.
Yeah.
Right? You don't want your idea, because there's a way that seemeth right to man, and the end thereof is death. You want God's counsel on the matter.
Amen.
So if you don't agree with doctrine, or you don't agree with the way people claim they should live or whatever, check it with Scriptures. And if it's the Scriptures, then we need to go with that. But if it's not, then you can dismiss it. And so he says, it is our light affliction, which is but for a moment. It worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight and glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you this morning just on a simple topic. Brother Branham used this same title, not to try and copy him, but looking at the unseen this morning. We certainly live in a tremendous time. A person would have to be blind, deaf, and dumb not to know that. But live in a tremendous time, and I will say this, that you know, it used to be that it would take 10 years for you to see some sort of change in the way things are, that's a magnitude of order of change. But it's like every day now, or at least every week now, we're seeing as far as the way the world is and as the way our nation is going and the way what you and I hold dear, the freedoms that we have, we see that changing on a magnitude of order every week, every day. And so it's a tremendous time. And everything that Brother Branham said about our day and about what we was to see, everything is coming to pass. And I don't understand what's the matter with people, especially people in message churches, when God is making it so plain and so clear that exactly what that man said was coming, that you and I were going to face, it's lining up, it's happening, it's in the news every day. You have to be blind, deaf, or dumb not to see the hour that we're living in.
Yep.
And to me, I look at that and say, you know, I've said this before, that every day when I wake up with another ache or another pain in my body, that's really a love letter from God to me.
Yep.
To tell me that there's a time coming. I have a time appointed where I have to leave this place.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it might be pains and all that, but it's really because I know people that died like that, sinners, killed in car crashes, just like that. Yeah. They didn't get that love letter that we have.
Yeah. Right.
Well, when you see the newspaper and you see Russia doing the things that they're doing, and you see our government doing the things that they're doing, it's a love letter from Almighty God to you and I.
Right.
To let us know that just exactly what He said would happen is going to happen. It's coming.
Yeah, right.
And it's right here now. And so, we don't want to be guilty of doing what the Scripture said and saying, well, we've heard since our fathers, you know, and all along we've heard that, oh, the coming of the Lord is, you know, and it's just everything's going on the same as it is. We don't want to be guilty of saying that because, you know what? One of these days, we're going to be 1 second before body change.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
Yes, sir.
And so everything that prophet told us is coming just like he said it would be.
Yeah.
Did he tell us that Russia was going to become a significant issue?
Right.
Did he say that?
Sure.
Right? And when he was saying that, Russia was not necessarily Russia. They were Soviet Union, but he always said Russia, right? He didn't say Soviet Union, Russia. And then Russia went off and died off, became a nobody. You know, they were the wall was torn down, and they, you know, all those nations got free or whatever, and so then it became Russia. But they were starving to death and almost nothing and barely could get by. But now look at them. And it's in our news every day. And they got their eye on us. They got their crosshairs on us. And our people know it.
Yeah.
And it's in our news. And they're flexing their muscle at us. You know that the Soviet Union, Russia has asked for the UN to be moved from New York City, the headquarters. Do you know that? They've got a plan. They have a plan. And so it's just exactly what the prophet said. Did he not tell us that every nation would turn their back on Israel? Are you seeing it? Do you see it happening? Even my own people, my own nation, turning their back on the best thing that this nation could do right now, with everything the way it is, the best thing they could do would be to stand for Christianity, but to stand with the Jews. And they're turning their back on both, just like that.
Yeah, right.
You see? So the handwriting is on the wall, and there's no avoiding it. There's no sticking our heads in the sand and thinking it's not going to happen. If I was speaking to people in other nations, they're talking about all these people coming across the border, you know what? My advice to them would be, stay home. Don't come up here. Don't get caught up in what's fixing to happen up here. Stay home and pray and seek God. Didn't he tell us America was that second beast in Revelation chapter 13? That it was born with religious freedom, but then it began to speak as a dragon, and it was that beast that would make the image to their first beast. Didn't he tell us that? And that first beast was the first system of religious persecution, the Roman system, that began to kill people because they wouldn't line up with their religious agenda, their political religious agenda. Because in the Catholic Church is religious power, political power, and demonic power. And anybody that wouldn't fall underneath that, that beast system went after them. Well, the United States is to make another image like that. So it would have to have characteristics like the first. A system that's going to make people line up with their government, political, religious, and demonic agenda. Everybody follow me?
Yes, sir.
Are we seeing it? Absolutely, we're seeing it. Didn't Brother Branham tell us that there was a financial crisis coming that was going to make that one back in 1929 look like a toothache or something like that? I forget the way he said it. Didn't he tell us that? Are you looking at the newspapers? Yeah, you're saying, well, Brother Tony, you're scared of me, or you're that's not what this is about. Didn't he tell us that the Roman system and that Protestants would join together in a brotherhood? Didn't he tell us that would happen? Have we been seeing that? Even right now, the Pentecostals have gone wholesale just that way. I was talking to Brother Daniel today, and we were talking about this. You know, it's not out there in all these other churches and so forth. They don't sit out there and tell you that Luther brought justification and Wesley brought sanctification, then the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't speak on terms like that. They don't make serious movements. They don't preach about serious movements in the gospel that it was Luther and Wesley and Pentecost. They don't talk about that. That's bride terminology. Right. But then this Anglican guy stands up, or this fellow, Tony Palmer, stands up there with Kenneth Copeland, and he starts talking to me. He says, you know what? The Lutherans, they signed it. Right. The Wesleyans, they signed it. But no evangelicals have signed it. The Pentecostals, they haven't signed it. But now they have. Yeah. Right? Since then. So, here's a guy that's using the same term. Because why? The devil knows that there were significant moves of justification, sanctification. He knows. Yeah. And the Catholic Church knows. Yeah. Right? And so, Brother Branham said it was going to happen. And it's happened. Well, I tell you what, if it was justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the living word among his bride is the next step. And if the Catholic Church has got the first one, the second one, and the third one to sign, who's next that they're coming after? You and I. 2 + 2 = 4. And there's no hiding from it. See? There's no hiding from it. Didn't he tell us there was going to be an earthquake? Right. My goodness. Are you hearing all the news? Yeah. You hear him talking about it. It's absolutely imminent. It's coming. There's no avoiding it. They're telling you that. Now, I'm just telling you the headlines. But these things should not be new to you. These things should be confirmation to you of what you already know to be true. Yes, sir. But what is it that we're talking about? Because God, by His mercy, by His grace, in our condition where we're still beat down with Laodicea, we're still groggy, we're still sleepy, because both the wise and foolish were slumbering and sleeping, right?
Right.
But in our condition, God, by His grace, He's letting it come across the screens of all the news and all the different media outlets to let us know that every one of these things was happening. Didn't Brother Branham say that Marilyn Monroe did not commit suicide?
Right.
Didn't he tell us that? Right? He said, they're going to say that she committed suicide, but she didn't. Yeah. Right? She didn't. Did you see it come out about a year or two back? It come out and it was a big thing about it. She did not commit suicide.
Right, yeah.
What is God trying to do? He's trying to get her attention.
Yeah.
And so, this generation is not going to be without excuse. Not going to be without excuse at all. Because God has moved so much in front of the people, so much past them, and they're just letting it go by.
Right.
And I don't want to be guilty of that.
No.
It's my responsibility. It's Brother Daniel's responsibility to ministers of the gospel. It's our responsibility to preach to you and get you awake so that you can go out to meet Him.
Yeah.
Right? Not to be continue to be asleep, to have your lamps full of oil. It's our responsibility. In other words, to see to it that you go in a rapture. And therefore, we've got to tell you to wake up from these things that's keeping us asleep. Wake up and see what's going on and recognize the hour that we're in for what it is.
Yeah.
And don't think it's going to be sometime off in the future, because it's right here upon us now. And so, those things that Brother Branham said was coming are absolutely happening. Amen. And not a one of those things makes us feel good in the flesh.
Right?
Not a one of them makes us feel good in the flesh. But I'll tell you, as we get a little further in this is temporal.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
Can you see it?
Yeah. Amen.
The scripture said it's temporal.
That's right.
Right? So how many of us think we need to be putting our confidence in something that's going to pass away?
No.
I don't want to put my confidence in something that's going to pass away. I want to put it in something that I know will continue on and abide forever. Amen. And so, the Word tells us that everything that is visible is temporal. And as time goes on, we can see this more and more and more. That's why Brother Brown preached the sermons several times, World Falling Apart. Yep. And he's trying to tell us, listen, the world is falling apart. And I would, you know, so kind of thinking of it like this, I remember the stories about the last time they had a big earthquake in the New Madrid, I think it is, over here in Tennessee. Is that the right one? And they were talking about way back in the 1800s, 1700s, whenever it was, they had this big earthquake. And the fissures were opening up in the ground, and they were all running in certain directions. And the people realized they were running in a certain direction, and they would come in waves. Every few minutes there would be another one. And so they started cutting trees down and making them fall across those gaps. And so I'm not an expert on it, but what I'm trying to point out here is that the ground beneath them was giving way. And they were responding. They were trying to do something to save themselves from that which was caving away underneath them. And so that's what I want to point out is that the world is falling apart. Yeah. What can you put trust in?
Right.
What are we going to trust?
Right.
Absolutely. You can't trust your government. You can't trust your money. You can't trust your military. I mean, really, honestly, we've come to that realization. We have, Brother Branham said that in his day, it didn't make a difference who you voted for.
Right.
It didn't matter then. Right? Not us, in the natural. So we vote for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one we vote for.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make a difference. There are candidates I'd like to see get in there, and I'm not telling you not to vote. You do all you can do to stand in the natural, but when you're done, you believe God for the rest of it.
Yes,
you
sir.
Believe Him anyway for
yeah.
it. But you do, you be diligent about all the things. And so, but it don't make a bit of difference. Brother Ben said, back then, in 1956, when they had had their Pentecost, and they didn't accept the gospel. And he said, if they don't do it this year, they'll never do it.
Yeah.
And in January of 1957, he comes back and he says, it's over with. They rejected it, and they'll never come back. And you hear him say that they could put an Abraham Lincoln and a George Washington in every county. There's 75 counties in Arkansas. So 75 Abraham Lincolns and 75 George Washington, 75 men with that kind of character that our country was built on in every county, and there's 75 in Arkansas. So how many would that be? Hundreds across the nation, and it'll never bring it back, he said. Because there's a place where a nation goes beyond that line drawn in the sand, and nothing reverses it. And so Brother Bear says, I don't even pray for this nation anymore. Why? Because they won't repent under the mighty hand of God. What about an individual that won't do that? What about an individual that they will not repent under the mighty hand of God when they see Him vindicating, when Satan comes along and tries to blind him, but they can see that those things that prophet told us are coming, we should respond to it, right? They should respond to it. Like those people with the earthquake. They were trying to save themselves from that which was caving away underneath them. And the world is falling apart. And I'm not going to trust a government that lies to us. I'm not going to try and trust a military that we don't even know where they're at right now.
Yeah.
We don't even know how the numbers, what their numbers are. We don't know what they're doing. So we're not going to trust them. We're not going to trust in our money and uncertain riches. It won't work. These things, if people want to convince you that we'll work harder and we'll get the right person in the government, we'll work harder and we'll get more money in the bank, or whatever it is, if they're just causing you to chase after mirages.
Right.
Because it doesn't work. And so the world's falling apart. But you know what? It must be that way.
Yep.
It must be that way, because in order for there's a new to come forth, there has to be a dying of the old.
That's right.
There has to be a dying of the old. And listen, this American way is dying. I mean, the good old American way. The 1950s, you know, in those days, they're gone.
Right.
They're dying. And they're giving way to something else that's new. And in this case, it's not something very good. But the world is falling apart, and it has to fall apart. It has to decay to make room for that which is coming, which is greater. It has to be that way. And so what I want to impart to you this morning is that our confidence, what we put confidence in, there needs to be a dying out to the confidence that we put in these natural things that are seen. And if there's a dying out of those things, that with the confidence we put in those things that are seen, there will be a birth of our confidence in the things that are unseen. Does everybody follow me what I'm saying? But before we can really have our trust in the things that are unseen, we've got to stop putting so much trust in those things that can't be seen. Everybody understanding me?
Yeah.
And God is not going to come down and make you let go of those things that are visible. If he has to do that, it's too late for you. By the time he does that to this world, it's too late for them. But by the grace of God, he's calling us to let go of the things of the world and move higher into Christ Jesus. And that's what he wants us to do. So there has to be a dying out of to the old man. A dying out of all the things that we've been comfortable with. Because listen, saints, we don't have the promise of the comforts we've had for so many years.
Right.
Things are changing in this nation. Things are changing in the world. We don't have certainty anymore there. We have certainty in Christ and him alone.
Amen.
That's all we can have confidence in is his program. And we've got to learn to shift everything off of those things of the natural and shift it over to him.
Right.
I'm not saying that while we're walking with him and totally trusting him, I'm not saying you can't plant potatoes. I'm not saying you can't do this or do that. Go do those things. All the while that you're abiding here and being a good Christian and doing all that you can to express Christ to the world, you keep your eyes focused on him. Because the Lord gives and the Lord takes away, and blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And whatever our future holds, it's in his hands, right?
Yes. Amen.
But I do believe that we as the bride of Christ, we have a great position that he's got his eye on, and he's going to see to it that we are kept like he promised he would do.
Yes, sir. Amen.
He's promised to do those things, and he's going to do it, just like he said all these other things, and he's done it. So we can believe that and not worry about it. We've got to put our confidence in him. And so there has to be a dying out of all those things so that the new can come. The prophecy says that the bride's going to be squeezed out. The foolish virgins are going to go into tribulation, and America is going to be destroyed. That's right?
Right.
That's exactly the prophecy. And if all these other things have come to pass just like that, if all those other seven visions of the seventh vision have come to pass, what about the last one? And when you see Russia's making their threats, putting up on their television station with a picture of a mushroom cloud, and their speaker telling their people America needs to remember that Russia can still turn them to radioactive dust. Because they're going to do that. They're going to do it.
Right.
See? It's going to happen because it's been prophesied. Why? Because Sodom and Gomorrah had to be burned by fire. And it'll have to be the same today, because if God doesn't burn this nation who was born under the gospel, then turn her back on God and turn to this modern thing that you see now, if he doesn't burn them, he will have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize to them.
Amen.
for what he did to them, because he didn't do it over. And God is not like that. God is just. And he's fair. And he doesn't have to repent. He doesn't have to repent about Sodom and Gomorrah. So that tells you he's got one thing left to do.
Right.
One thing left to do. Because Romans will tell us that when a people who knew God and they failed to glorify him as God, but they begin to change him into something else, that he'll turn them over to their own devices, to their own thinking, and they'll turn to this way of life that you see so prominent out there now. And so that's what's coming. So the prophecy says the bride will be squeezed, the foolish virgin will go to tribulation, America's going to be destroyed. How are we going to get there? It ain't going to happen with the good old 1950s American way being prevalent. There has to be a decaying of those things, a decaying of a good government that we can put our confidence in, which happened, that went out a long time ago. There has to be decaying of all those things. In other words, God has to allow got to come where he actually puts it in the mind. He has to put it into the mind of somebody to push those buttons to send them bombs. There has to be a change in attitude. There has to be a change in the attitude of the world toward us for us to come to that. See what I'm saying? There has to be a change in the way that people think and the way the government thinks and the laws of the land. There has to be a change in those things in order for the bride to come under a squeeze. And of course, that same squeeze, once God takes us out, that same squeeze goes to the foolish virgin. And they get it. They get the brunt of it. Because God takes his people home. But you see what I'm saying? Those things can't happen until there's a shift and a change in the way things are. And it's all over the newspapers. There's a change in the mentality. There's a change. When government officials can do all the things they do and don't go to jail, but somebody standing on their gospel beliefs can go to jail. And I'm not trying to be a political. It has nothing to do with it. I'm saying that the freedoms that we've had as Christianity, they're going, but it has to be that way. Why? Because there has to be a going away of the old for the next thing to come in. And God knows that you and I are too comfortable in this world as it is. So he's going to take a little bit of stuffing out of our nest. And we're going to go. We're going to start deciding, you know what? It'd be better if I was there than if I was here.
Right?
Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. We got to come to that place, saints. I know it don't feel good. But as we see it happen, let's don't deny it. Let's get in sync with this great cycle. That what's fixing to happen. And what is happening. So there has to be a change. And while this change is happening, and when all this is going on, the proper response for you and I as believers should be that we rejoice. We should rejoice. Because we know that just a few more moments, and he that shall come will come.
Right.
And he will take us. Right? But we want to make sure that between now and then, that all of our honor and all of our mindset, everything shifts away from the visible and the temporal onto the eternal and him alone. That he is your focus. And no matter what happens, he's number one in your life. That you'll give up anything else as long as you can have him.
Yes.
All the way to the nth degree. That's the pattern that was shown us in the Bible. And that's the pattern that's going to have to be lived today.
Right.
And so we certainly want to be found doing that. Our proper response in this hour is to believe. If we really believe that dimension on the other side is what we've been taught that it is, then we really ought to be putting our confidence in that.
Amen.
You remember when Hope passed away, Brother Brown prayed for her, and she come back. And she said, Bill, why did you call me back?
Right.
Remember that? Why did you call me back, Bill? She was young, had a baby there. Any mother would have wanted to come back and be with her baby. But just a few minutes on that other side, and when prayer brought her back for just a little bit, she said, why did you call me back? Remember what her description was of that place? Remember that? Big, beautiful birds flying from tree to tree. Think about it. The most awesome spring morning that you and I have ever seen. We're talking about something like that, beyond that. So if we really believe that's what that other dimension is. Remember Brother Ram going behind past the curtain of time. And all those people coming to him and saying, our precious brother. He said it was beyond sublime. There was no words to describe what it was really like there.
Yes.
And they were saying, our precious brother. Our precious brother. Brothers and sisters both coming. Our precious brother. And they were his converts. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
And he said, sublime. There was no English word, no word that could describe that dimension. And Brother Biscoe tells in his testimony that when they were sitting up there on a mountainside in Canada or Alaska or wherever, and they were sitting there and would look out at a great big beautiful panoramic view of you know what the scenery in Alaska looks like. And Brother Biscoe said that Brother Brown was standing there and he looked at it this way and he looked about a lot like he said, Brother Biscoe, he said, that place, he said, it's a whole lot like this. How many remembers that? If we really believe that's what's there, and that we could be with our loved ones and with the Lord Jesus Christ at a place like that, what would we think would be worth losing that here?
Right.
What would we want to hang to here that would make us lose that? See, we've got to be shaken back to reality here. People have to be, and that's what the preaching of the gospel is to do, is to shake them back to the right thinking and realize there's nothing on this earth that's worth losing that over.
Yeah, right,
and I realize that if you're not supposed to be there by His election or whatever, you won't be. But you know what? The elect have a desire, and they need that desire to become first in their life and all other things to come past behind that and put that first. And so, we want to look at the unseen and not at the natural. It's like a big wheel. Prophecy. You hear that phrase, prophecy is stronger than politics. Prophecy is like a giant wheel. God's plan, His will of what's coming to pass, is like a giant wheel that's spinning, that's bringing these events to us. Just a big wheel that's swinging around, bringing it right to us. How many's ever been to the Tulsa Zoo? How many's seen that big granite ball that's spinning with water on it, but it's spinning? How many's tried to stop it from moving? I'm the only one, Brother Daniel, we're the only one. Was you able to even try to stop it? I'm sure that if you did it for long enough, you might could. But when you're doing that, you're sitting there trying to stop that thing, you get the impression that this is ridiculous. Why even try? I'm not even budging this thing. It just keeps moving.
Right?
What do you think about trying to reach out here and grab the earth in His size and stop Him from rotating? It's because you know He can sit in one spot in the air and I can watch all y'all go by. If I wait another 24 hours, you come right back to me.
Yeah.
Pretty close. I know things shift a little bit, but you understand the concept. So God's prophecy is like a big wheel. You couldn't stop the earth. You couldn't keep it. And you know, I don't know, I don't know what they're saying now about how big space is, but we've watched that video here, and it's ridiculous how massive space is. But did you know the Scripture said that all those heavens, that God could just fold those up like He'd fold up a garment?
Yeah.
Traveling at the speed of light, 186,000 miles a second, and you take off and it'd take you, I don't know, 15 billion years, maybe more than that now, what they say, to cross the universe. Traveling at 186,000 miles, you'd have to travel 15 billion years to get from one side to the other. And the Bible says that for God, that whole universe, all He's got to do is just do that right there. It's done. That's how easy it is for Him. He can fold it up just like just a garment. Right? So, His wheel has the entire universe on it, bringing it around to what He wants it to be. So what about you and I and our problems and our government? You think that's not on that wheel of God?
Right.
So that wheel of God is telling us that we've come out of a cycle of the religious freedoms that we've had, and we've got to come out of that cycle into a squeeze, because if we don't come to the squeeze, we'll never get out of here.
Right.
So this great big giant wheel of God is moving all that past us. And here's what we have coming, and we're not going to stop it. So the right frame of mind, the right revelation, is not to try and push against it and keep it from happening, but to get in sync with it and let it carry us the way God wants it to carry us. Right? Well, Jesus stood there knowing I could call to the Father and He'd send 12 legions or whatever it was, He said. But then if I did that, how would Scripture be fulfilled? And you know what? Sheep, we all have rights, but sheep forfeit their rights. Right? And so these things are moving. These things are happening. Be good Christians. That's all. I'm not telling you don't. But be a good Christian. But just know that this cycle of these things are coming, God has His hand in it. And even though it don't feel good to this, inside we should be saying amen. Because what God has for us coming is on its way now. And Brother Branham used that terminology. He said it's moving in that cycle. That cycle has to come. And that cycle is going to bring it to us just as sure as anything. And we're looking at it right now. If we want to hang on to our physical things, our physical health, our physical homes and jobs, and if that's all we're worried about, you better be scared. Because you can have all that probably if you get rid of your Christian testimony. But as long as you have your Christian testimony, you can't serve God and man both. We got to make up our mind what's important to us.
That's right.
And though we might plant our potatoes today, but if they roll up the driveway tomorrow and say, you can't have them potatoes, you're out of here, praise God, I'll serve God anyway, you can have the taters.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? If they come, you know, God is sovereign. He calls us all home when He wants to. When He's ready. We don't have a say in that. You know, Adam Applegate, he didn't have a say, did he? His parents didn't have a say. Was it hurtful to them? Sure it was hurtful to them. But they also have enough revelation in their heart to say, my son is over there now.
Yeah.
See? They know he is. And so they have a greater confidence in that than in the pain of what they had to let go of. And we've got to come to that place where our revelation is such that we believe God and we love God and we're in sync with His move. And that's more important to us than anything else in the natural that we want to hang on to. We've got to learn how to take everything and commit it all to God. And if God takes it away overnight, He takes it away overnight. We still serve God.
Yes, sir.
That's what we've got to do. It make any difference what the government, what the rest of the world does. We want to serve God and just leave it in His hands.
Yes.
So this is not an hour for the faint-hearted. It's not. It's not an hour for the faint-hearted. Millions are going to go down in defeat while in denial. Millions are going to deny what's going on and go down in defeat because of it, instead of capitalizing on what God can get, what God has got available for them. You just go on, and I say, go down in defeat. I'm really like foolish version going to tribulation when they could go to rapture, right? I realize predestination-wise, if they're not supposed to go to rapture, they won't. But you realize they're made of the same material. Foolish virgin and bride, wise virgins, are the same material, like a garment, where they cut out the garment and make a dress. And what's inside the dress goes in the rapture, and what gets out of the dress don't go in the rapture. Same material. We could shift the pattern over a little bit, and some of that went out that wouldn't be in the pattern now will be in the pattern, and some of this over here will go out. Now, it all belongs to God. All that belongs to God. But just to let you know that those foolish virgins are just as valuable of material as what the bride is. Right? They'll be saved, but they're not going into rapture. They're going to tribulation, and they'll give their lives for their testimony. But what about those who are to be bride? We are in the same condition. We're faced with the same issues that the foolish virgins are, but there's a people here that's got to take the promises of God, and they go in a rapture because they believe it. And there will be another people just like you and I that miss it. Right? Same material, same hour, same issues, and they'll miss it. Why? Well, we know what the Scripture says about it. And so, there's a lot of people will go down in defeat because they're in denial of the hour. You know, I know to our young people, and it's the same way with me. But to our young people, and they have a life ahead of them, and they don't want to hear that that's going to be terrible. And I don't want to tell you that it is terrible. But I do want to tell you this. Seek God first. Right? Seek God first. And then all these other things will be added to you.
Right.
Seek God. Seek the kingdom of heaven first. Get a hold of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and then follow your dreams. Then follow after what your dreams are, because if you'll get Christ first, then the dreams that you have will be the right dreams, and you'll follow the right thing, and you'll never come up short.
Amen.
But if you try to follow after your dreams and say, I'll put Christ on hold, that's the worst mistake you can make in all your life. Get Jesus Christ first.
Amen.
Get Him first. And He'll put in your heart the right things. How many grown-ups could say and raise their hand, you know what? I wished I would have done that. I wished I would have got God first back when I was a young kid, before I went off after things. But by His grace, He come back and got me and moved me and took those things away. I still have to reap what I sowed, but you understand what I'm saying? He saved me, and gave grace. But you know what? We're at the end. We don't have much time for those kinds of things. It took years before God got me. But what are there 8 years left now? How's he going to get you if you put him on hold? Don't put him on hold. Get him first and then chase after your dreams. They'll be there for you.
That's right.
He'll never let you down.
That's right.
He'll never let you down. And if you've already done that, get back to him. Get back to Christ. And then let him take you forward. Give everything to him, and then he'll give back to you what he wants you to have, which will always be better for you than what you think you need to have.
Right.
How many as a young person, I'll be honest with you, and you may not like Brother Tony after this, but when I was a kid, I wanted to be rich.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I wanted to be famous. I wanted to be a rock star or, in a band traveling the world. I wanted to be well known. I wanted to have all the riches. I wanted to go all the places. You know what? Everybody has natural desires like that. You know what? But natural desires, when not governed by new birth, always take you to a dead end.
Sure, right.
Always. And if God would have turned around at that time and give me everything I wanted, if my parent would have said yes to everything I wanted at that time, Brother Tony would not be here now. Brother Tony would be in a grave. How many can say that? That's the way it is with you. Right? I'm glad my Heavenly Father said no.
Yes.
I'm glad he said, no, you're not going to go out there and become a rock star or something like that. You're not going to do that. I'm glad he kept me until he could mold some grace into me and change me. Right? And now I've got different desires. And that's the way it's got to be. Our desires have to be governed by that which is unseen and not by our physical, because it all goes away. And so, many are going to fall. We want to seek after God first and then follow after our dreams after that. Many people in this hour will retreat to their Jerusalem. Now, let me explain what I'm talking about. In the days when Jesus was there, he said, now, when you see these things come to pass, you come down off your housetop, you flee. You flee to the mountains. You get out of Jerusalem. When you see these armies can pass about Jerusalem, you get out. Because vengeance upon this people for the fact that they've turned their back on God, vengeance is coming.
Yeah.
God brought that vengeance through armies, through Roman armies. God brings vengeance upon America through what? So he said, you get out of there. And as Brother Branham was telling us, if you go back and you read through history, you'll find out that the people, the only people that escaped that wasn't caught in that was the believers. All the believers left. When they saw the signs that Jesus said, they had left Jerusalem, and then Jerusalem was hemmed in. There were people who were rich people who thought, well, Jerusalem, I mean, that's the city of God. We're God's people. And, he won't let that happen to us. We're a holy nation. We were birthed on religion. Why, God's not going to let that happen to us because we're a religious nation. And by taking that attitude, they were totally 180 degrees opposite of the prophecy. The big wheel that was coming. They started pushing against it, saying, It'll not be. I'll retreat. I'll come right back here, and I'll retreat right here in the walls of Jerusalem. And I'll be sustained. Because we're a holy people. God's not going to let that happen. And you know what the story was? You know what happened to those people? Worst time they've ever had. Right? This nation's the same way. There's a lot of people say, well, we're a godly nation. This is a holy. They don't realize they left God a long time ago. See, they left him a long time ago. And so a lot of people are going to retreat into this mentality. Well, that don't happen to us. We're good people. We haven't done anything wrong to anybody. We've got freedoms. These freedoms won't go away. We're secure. And they'll retreat right into that and die there. Now, our Jerusalem isn't a physical place. But I'm telling you, it is a mindset. It's the right mindset toward the Word of God and the promises of God. And people can retreat away, retreat back and say, it'll not be these things that this prophet said about our great nation. It'll not be. They can just retreat right back into that and fall into progress. Or they can flee to the mountains. Flee to the mountain, to the great mountain of Almighty God that He's given us. That great pyramid mountain, the revelation of Jesus Christ, right? The statue of a perfect man. Let's retreat to that. To that mindset, because as long as we're over here with the wrong mindset, we'll believe the lies. We'll be taken with humanity off into that direction and be destroyed. So it's a revelation we've got to come to. A mountain, a rock is a revelation. So we've got to leave this current world and way of thinking, the mentality world, and come into the Word and to what God has said shall come to pass and ride on that and let it take us. That's what we've got to do. So we don't want to retreat into our wrong ideas or whatever. So the bride, she retreats to the promise of God. She doesn't go to something else. So bride is going to be taken care of. Why? Why is she going to be taken care of? Because it's not anything that we've done ourselves. It's predestinated. We know God has put something in us to make us believe. Yeah. But the reason why we're bride, there's several reasons or whatever, but He's going to take care of us because we believe the current modern day manifestation of the living Word. That's the dividing line. The modern day living Word as it's expressed now. Jesus was the living Word right there in front of them, and they didn't know who He was. He was prophecy coming to pass. He was that which they needed coming to pass, and they missed it. But God has said something in our day, what the people need. The very prophecy that He said would come, and the very thing that people need, and they're missing it. Right? They're missing it. And so, but there is a people, when you catch it, they caught it in Jesus' hour. They caught the revelation and realized He was the Son of God, right? And they got the benefits of that revelation. And it's the same thing now. He's here. He has a body. Right? He has a body. It's not the man 2,000 years ago that walked up and down the shores of Galilee, but He's got a body, and that body's active, and there's things that He's saying and doing in that body right now. Do you see it?
Amen.
Do you catch that revelation? And it'll be prophecy coming to pass, and it'll be rejected by the world just like He was rejected by the world because it's the same Him.
Right.
So, do you see it? Is it coming to pass? Yes. Are you on board with that? You'll be beneficiaries of that. If you are. But if we draw back to some other mentality, well, we won't be saved. But the bride will be because she does see that. She does see that that's going on. And she doesn't retreat back into some religious idea and say, well, you know, we have Abraham as our fathers. Right? That's what card they pulled on Jesus. Well, we have Abraham. What are you talking about? Abraham. Right? Things haven't changed. We don't retreat to back to some religious excuse. We take the revelation full on and go with it. But there's a people, millions, who draw back and say, well, you know, God, we have to go with that in order to be saved. Well, we've got our system. And we're God's people. What are you talking about? It's a message. That's exactly what they do. Just repeats. See, so that's what's going on this hour. Jesus said it'd be. Straight is the gate. Narrow is the way. Right? And few there be that enter into the gospel and the kingdom. But broad is the path that leads to destruction. There's millions of pathways to destruction, but there's one pathway to the righteous. Right? It's the Word of God. And so that's why the bride is kept in this hour, because she sees that revelation. She says amen to it. She's not denying it. She's not trying to cover up. She's embracing that living Word, her husband. She's embracing that and not trying to get rid of it. And God places a difference between her and the rest of them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a righteous and then there's elect.
Right.
I've thought about this for a long time. If the righteous scarcely be saved, then where's a sinner and godly going to appear? But I want to tell you something. The gospel that is preached to us out of the Bible and a vindicated message in this hour, talking to you as the bride, does it tell you you're going to be scarcely saved? There is a people who will scarcely be saved, and they are righteous, but they're not elect. The elect is a different category. You understand what I'm saying? Did it ever make you scratch your head when it said, when it called Lot, that it vexed his righteous soul, or how, I forget how it said, but it used the word righteous? And I think to myself, Lot, righteous? Huh? I wouldn't call that righteous, but the Word of God says that Lot was in a category of righteous. So there were Sodom that burned, but Lot, who was influenced and vexed by that, but he wasn't the Abraham elect. Everybody follow that? There's an elect. They're a different category. And there has to be a separation from the elect and the Lotites. So there has to be. And there will be an elect, there will be a Lotite, and there will be Sodomites. Has to be that way. But this elect people, they're a different category, and God places a difference. Well, we don't necessarily make ourselves different, but He makes us different than them. Because he's going to take care of us just like He took care of Israel in the Exodus. Like I said the other day. God said, just so you'll know that how much difference I put between the children of Israel and the Egyptians. While they're over here dying, the firstborn of every beast and every Pharaoh and all their servants, firstborn of all of us dying, and they're screaming and crying. Right over here in Goshen, a dog's not even going to move his tongue. But that night in Goshen, there wasn't even a bark. Because a dog has to move his tongue to bark, right? Wasn't even a bark. It was so quiet. So peaceful. But right next door, total chaos. Saints, we're living in an hour. There's chaos. You see it with your neighbors. You see it with your coworkers. You see chaos. But you should have peace.
Yes,
Lord. You should have peace with Almighty God. Right? That's what we should have, because it's repeating. Why do we have the peace of the gospel? Because we're a different people.
That's right.
And God has promised that He'll make a difference. He'll take His people in a rapture. And so, the scriptures refer to us as the elect lady. I mean, knows what Brother Branham said about it. He said, the elect lady, he said, one lady out of many. One church out of many churches, right? Because women are represented in the Bible, churches are represented with women. So an elect lady, one lady elected out of a whole bunch of ladies is not elect. I'll say it that way so you very clearly understand. Who elects her? Who chose her? Who made the choice to say she's the elect lady and the rest aren't? Listen, that's terminology of your Bible. Go to the small books of John. The elect lady. Who is this elect lady? It's a people. It's the apple of God's eye. When you look in His eye, you'll see her reflection, because that's who He's looking at. You are His beloved. He loved you more than His own life. There's nothing He loves more than you.
Right.
So you are His beloved. And I hope He's your beloved.
Yes.
Amen? I hope He is, and not something else in the way. He is our. She is His beloved. And so she's the elect lady. When you look around and you see the world, they don't have confidence in Christ. These people making these rulings and laws, they're doing stuff now they don't even have law to do it by. It's over with. But it's easy to see they don't have their confidence in Christ. They don't even have a clue what the Bible speaks anymore. You're a blessed people to know these things. And don't take it for granted. Take it and let God do what He is, God, what He can with it. And so we don't want to be like them. We want to put the Word first, because the promise is to you, the elect lady. The elect lady. That promise is not to your flesh. That promise is not to the physical and to the natural, and it's not to the earth, because all those things are temporal. They're visible. They're temporal. But the promise of God is to the you that was you long before you came here. Long before you came to this earth, the scriptures tell us that God chose you in Christ Jesus before the world was. You had representation in heaven. You've got representation there. And because you have representation there, that causes you to be what you are here. Everybody understand that? You are a Christian here because you have a predestinated representation in heaven. Your name is on that Lamb's Book of Life. And that makes all the difference in the world.
That's right.
But this happened not because you made a choice. It was already that way. God wrote the names on that book before the world was. Well, I wasn't there. See, I wasn't there like I am now. But I had a representation that He put there. He chose me and He chose you in Christ. In other words, before the world was, He used Christ, Jesus, the Word, to create all the world. But before He ever did that, in Christ was all His people, His elect. Right? And all those that are in Him, their names was on that book. And so, this promise of God is not to you. It's not to your failures. It's not to your successes. It has nothing to do with your physical.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with this natural. It has nothing to do whether or not you live in a nice home or a shack. Has nothing to do with if you got a new car or don't have a new car. That's not what it's dealing with. This promise is to the real you that is not those things, the real you that's eternal. And so, to the something that is not seen, something that is temporal, but it is to that which is eternal. So this promise goes beyond all these things. So all these things can hinder. You understand? Your flesh, your failures, your successes, well, all that has nothing to do with it. This promise goes beyond all that to the predestinated you, to the you that's recorded on the Lamb's Book of Life. And so Brother Branham comes along and he tells us, he said, that way back then, God saw you at your best. He took an image. He said, it's like He took a snapshot of you, of what He wanted you to be. And He filed that away in His little file cabinet, as it were, just trying to say it in a way that we can understand. And that image of you that was before the world was, God is going to move upon you and bring you to that image.
Right.
And so you're born in this earth and you're living after the things of the seen, after the things of the natural. You're going after the first birth and all that goes along. But at some point, the gospel catches your attention because you've got a seed down inside that matches that.
Right.
And the gospel come along, and that seed is birthed, and what's birthed in you is what that image is of. Right? And so you're birthed, and now you're living a new birth. You're not living the old natural thing. You're living a new birth, and that new birth is tied to that image. That's what it is. And Brother Bam said, that first life, you know, the first life, it has a name. And all that you do underneath that name is under that book of life. Not the Lamb's book, but the book of life. But he said, but when you're born again, when you have an experience with God and you're birthed into Christ, God takes that off of that book and He transfers you over. And we know it already was there, but you realize you act this out on earth, that now your name is on the Lamb's book of life. And so now you've got a new life with a new record. The old record is gone. He said that was the old husband. He's dead. He's divorced. He's gone. And now you're married to Christ Jesus. Then your name on the Lamb's Book of Life is your marriage certificate. So now you're married to Christ. And he said that right there is where your eternal gene takes hold. That's where it comes from. That which he planned for you to be is you become rooted in that when you have that new birth experience. Amen? Does everybody follow that? And he said, that image of you that he made of you can never be marred.
Right.
Can never be marred. If you take a painting of somebody, and maybe the paint's not quite finished, but it's a masterpiece, and the paint's not dry, and you come up there and you smear that just one little bit, it's marred. Some little feature, some little something about it's been changed. It's marred. But that image that God has of you, that's the unseen, the promise of God, not this that's passing away, but that unseen image of you will never be marred. There's nothing this world can do to you to change your predestinated position in God that's coming quickly. Nothing in this world. You can't do it. The world can't do it. Because God declared that from the beginning. And so that's the real you. That new life has a name. And that name is on the Lamb's Book of Life. And of course it's Miss Jesus Christ. Right? That's your new name. This is Jesus Christ. Because now you're married to Him. And I'm going to say this. As Brother Branham said it this way. I don't have the quote in front of me. But I'll say it in my own way of trying to get the point across to you. That's your marriage certificate. You're married to Him now. And nothing else is allotted to you. Nothing is allotted to you that's not in that. Right? That's not in that imagery. Nothing is allotted to you. There's nothing this world can allot to you and hold at your account because God has stricken it all off. Brother Ram said, you're justified. You're justified. Not Luther's justification, but the true meaning of justification has come out now, and it belongs to the bride. Because true justification is as if you never did it in the first place. Not that you did it and then you were forgiven because you were still guilty. But true justification takes a person who's guilty. And it moves over their life and changes them in such a way that they're no longer guilty. They never did it. There's no record of it. It can't be found anywhere. They never were in the camp of the wicked. You hear that? The prophet says that to us. That you never were there in the first place. Because he said you were tricked into it by your adulterous parent Eve. You were tricked into it, born that way. But God come along and He wiped that completely off. Put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life where there's no record against you. And you're justified. Not even a record. God don't remember it. Right? Satan remembers it. You remember it. But God said it's not there. And you know what? We need to start acting that way. When you meet the devil and you're looking at him and he's challenging you and you go to meet him with the promise of God, you remember that.
Yep.
Satan, there ain't a record against me.
Yep.
I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord by a life that was given to me before the foundation of the world. That's what I'm coming to fight with you. I'm not coming to fight with this natural temple. I'm not coming to fight with this gray matter and what I can think in my gray matter. I'm coming to you, Satan, in the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what I'm coming with. I'm putting all this other away. I'm not even going to begin to try and use that. I'm coming with the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You're going to let go of the promises of God that He's given me and my people. And so, that's why we're the bride, is because He gave us that position before the foundation of the world. And because of this, while the world is falling apart, you and I are walking in royal conduct. We have a royal walk.
Yeah.
We have a royal apparel. We have something that's been given to us that we didn't have of ourselves, but God's given it to us.
Yeah.
And the world doesn't have it. Royalty is always a segregated people that is in a different class because they were born that way. Right? They were born that way.
Yeah.
Not that they try to take it. They were born that way. God has birthed you into a royal class.
Yeah.
You have a certain walk that's different than the world. You have a certain language that's different than the world. You have different places that you go that the world won't go. You understand what I'm saying? You have a mindset and a conduct. You know about things they don't know about. Everybody understand what a royal people is. And so while the rest of the world is falling apart and everything around us is, we're walking in royal apparel and in the customs of royalty. Right? We're walking in the revelation of Jesus Christ, knowing that who we are. Amen. We walk in royal conduct, walking in grace. Being Christ to the world. Amen. Being Christ to the world, expressing His attributes to them. Now, how many knows that we're supposed to have a short, quick demonstration just before the body changes? How many knows that? Right? There's supposed to be something happen to you and I that God is going to put on display. And I don't know, that's all up to him about who sees it, what it all is. It's not going to convert the world. We know that. But there's supposed to be something. And I'll tell you that in that hour, while that quick, short demonstration is going on, Satan is in deep trouble. Because this bride is going to be slapping him around like a puppy. You understand what I'm saying? There's going to be something that moves over this bride. And I'm not trying to tell you, I don't want to make the mistake and say, well, God did this and God's going to do that and this is what he's doing now. I want to tell you that today's the day that that cycle could move.
Yeah.
Right. That quick, short, powerful demonstration. But I'll tell you one thing, it will not happen as long as our mind is over here in the natural. Our mind has got to be in the eternal. To know what's important, to know what matters, and that all this other stuff doesn't matter, and to know that when we walk into a situation, we can change it. Did Jesus ever walk into a situation that he didn't change? Think about it. Did he? And she's life of his life, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. The ministry of Christ and the ministry of bride are the same, says the prophet. So you understand what I'm saying? We should have the highest expectation because our God has promised it that we can change people. That it would be, if we could just envision, just like he was walking up and down the shores of Galilee, and when somebody come to him with a daughter that's laying dead, that he come that he would know that he could go to that and change that situation. Right? And we're to be the same. I'm not trying to coax you into trying to do something the Spirit of God don't want you to do. But I'm saying that when the bride of Christ comes to all this that I'm talking about, she's in sync with him and she won't be doing something wrong. And she will display him and his attributes like this world has never seen since then and was exhibited somewhat in Brother Branham's ministry will be expressed through her too. That Elijah and Elisha plays out again. And so we want to be Christ to the world. So I want to encourage you to go ahead and dare to make a difference in the lives of people. Go ahead and believe that you can sit down with someone and you can talk to them and you can change their attitude, that you can change the trials that they're going through. Go ahead and do that. Believe it. Listen, I'm not talking about myself, but I've went into hospital rooms where people were dying. I'm thinking of a particular case, and I've told you this before. Dying. They take the woman out of intensive care and put her in a room and called hospice on her. Many of you know the story. And her brother asked me to come down there and see if I could come down and pray with her. And Satan fought and did everything in the world to try to keep it from happening. And I walked in that room and there looked like drug dealers and everybody else in the world. And there wasn't nothing but darkness in that room. And I thought to myself, Lord, I'm here. I am here. I'm supposed to pray for someone and see if I can help someone who's on their deathbed. And look at all this. How am I supposed to deal with this? Because I didn't feel like I had nothing to offer in myself, see. But I just sat there. You've heard Brother Brim say it. He just say, I just keep praying under his breath, praying. And that's all I did. I just in my mind, I said, Lord, you know why I'm here. You know what I got to do. I pray that you open a doorway. You got to drive back the darkness. You got to make a way. You understand what I'm saying? You got to make a way. And after a few minutes, I think it seemed like it was about 30 minutes. How many would stand there that long? About 30 minutes seemed like it went by. Maybe 20. And finally, everything began to move back. And a doorway was opened. And the gospel was presented. And the girl was healed. Raised up from that death. But the doctors told her, you'll never leave the hospital alive. That was what she said. That the family told us they had given her that diagnosis. But I gave her a challenge. I said, if God will raise you off this bed, will you serve him all the days of your life? And she said, I will. Now, she didn't do that necessarily. I'm not her judge. But you understand what I'm saying. You've got to believe this. That God has promised you that you can make a difference in the lives of people. And when you sit down and you've got loved ones, don't be like a bull in the china closet. Be what they need. They need something. They need light. They don't need darkness. They don't need another opinion that's somebody else's opinion. They need God's word on the matter. But they need it not just in word, but they need it in deed. They need it in spirit. Don't just take the letter of the word to them. Take the spirit of the word to them.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? We are a people that can do that. We can make the difference in the lives of people. And that's what our job is here to do. So go ahead and dare to make a difference in the lives of people. Walk into rooms where situations are and change them. And let them see the God that they need to see. Go ahead and upset Satan every day. Every day. Upset him. Because you know what? As long as you have a Christian testimony, he's already upset with you anyway, and he won't stop until he tries to do something about it. But Satan's getting away with way too much. You know what? He's getting away with way too much. And it's time that God's people join together and go to battle.
Amen.
Not just saying, well, Lord, you know, I pray for this, I pray for that, I pray for this, but actually go to battle for that person and for that need. And that's a job that only you can do, because the rest of the world don't know how to do it. They've not been schooled. They haven't been told. But you've been tutored and you've been taught by an end-time message. And you're a people who should make the difference. Amen. And we believe that.
Amen.
I believe it. I know that through the days of everyday life and the toils of working and all that, it seems to pull you away from that reality. But we've got to fight to keep that in the forefront of our mind, that's what we're really here for.
Yeah.
We're not necessarily here to work at our jobs, which we do. But we're here that we may touch lives and share Jesus Christ with others.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's let the musicians come. So we want to look at the unseen, amen? Look at the things that last throughout eternity. And that's the promises of God. Amen. And we love the Lord. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this service this morning, Lord, we pray, Lord, that You would just pour out Your grace upon us, Lord, in this hour. As I've heard it said so many times, Lord, that the believers of this hour would come up in the resurrection or come up in the rapture and meet with all the saints of heaven, and that when they ask us what age we'd come from, and we'd say Laodicea, and they would gasp. Lord, no man that's really got Your anointing upon him will ever consider himself to be anything great in itself. But Lord, even Moses had to write what You said about him. And this bride in this day has to realize who she is. And she has to realize it enough that she goes in before the king and makes her petition. I pray, God, that You would anoint us with that proper mentality, Lord. Take Your promises, Lord. And go forth and meet the challenge of the devil today. Lord, grant to us this week that each one of us can touch a life. Lord, at least one life in a major way this week, I pray. Lord, help us join together in prayer as families join together in prayer and as a church family join together in prayer and absolutely do battle against the enemy that's taken way too much ground. It belongs to us, Lord, and we want to go fight against it. I pray that You would help us, Lord, move forward, move up another notch. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Let's all stand as we sing this.
This is the evening time. It's later.
People can understand.
time. You know, one way of singing that, when we say the bridegroom we hear, sometimes we say the combine we hear, because it comes to take the wheat of God. You know, and to be honest with you, saints, we're really further down the line than the combine. And I guess combines are what we use today, but you know, in the harvesting of wheat, they take the wheat off the field, they take it to the threshing floor. You know, the prophecy talking about Jesus coming and said his fan is in his hand and he'll thoroughly purge his floors. Talking about purging the chaff and all the things that aren't wheat.
Yeah.
Purging it away from the wheat. And so they'd catch a place where there was wind, or sometimes they'd fan it themselves, so their fan would be in their hand. They'd throw that wheat up, and that chaff was light. Everything at the end time, everything that comes time for rapture, times for the real Christian to go in the barn, everything else gets kind of lightweight in their experience, and the winds of doctrine just blows them all away. And the only thing left is the heavy weight of the wheat gospel that's in the heart of the wheat that holds, and they got something substantial. And they're not moved by the winds and all the doctrine. That's what we do. And so they fan that and separate all those things. And so that's really what's been going on with all these fights and all these accusations against an end time message, against a prophet saying this and saying that, things they can't prove, and saying all those things. And every one of us, each one of us, when we hear these things, we're tested. We're tested and tried. Do we continue to believe? Well, so listen, saints, I never was tied to this revelation because of a man. I was tied to the revelation because I see God, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So not one of these things has moved me. You know what? I heard a lot of these things was out there 10 years before they ever started bringing them up. See? It didn't move me, and it didn't move you. You're still believing. Why? Because the winds of all these doctrines of false things about the message, hey, all that other just blew all that chaff away, didn't bother you. You fell right back down into his basket or whatever. So I want to say that you see where we are in the process? You see where we are? We have to go through the hall of critics before we can ever go through the hall of fame. You understand a prophet said that? So we go through criticism. We have to go through what? A time where God puts us on display and we go through criticism and then we go to the Hall of Fame. So how far are we? Think about it. How far are we? Where are we in this? We're not laying in the field. We're already been at the winnowing floor and have already been going through the winnowing. And I don't know if it's completed yet or not, but there's only one more step. One more step. There's no more step between us. That next thing after the winnowing, the persecution, all that takes place, we get to go into the barn. He takes us in the rapture. We'll just believe God. He'll prove these things. We just have to stand still. God will let an accusation come up against the message, and He won't give an answer for a while to see what you're going to do. Let me believe that. I'm saying this because I heard a testimony here a couple of days ago, and I'm going to share it with you. So one of the accusations that they were saying was that, you know, Brother Branham had went and prayed for King George of England. Right? How many knows that? Okay? Well, he come up here some time ago and said, that's not, never happened. It never happened. Because a king's life, everything about a king that he does, is all documented, recorded. They went and searched it out. There's no record of William Branham ever meeting with King George. Therefore, he lied about it, and he is a false prophet because he's a liar. Anybody see that? Okay. Well, that's what their accusation was. And we're standing here going, well, you know, all we have is the tapes and the message, and I believe it. But now I'm confronted with all these accusations, and I don't know what to do but just stand still. Wait on God. You know, God don't have to prove nothing to them, but He will come back and He will reconfirm your faith.
Right?
Right? So they made this accusation. Well, the brother that was burnt with Brush Pile preaching down in Calvary, Ron Spencer, here at the meetings they had a few weeks ago there, with the big mission meeting they had in Rutherford, North Carolina, I think it's where it was at. Did you hear this story?
Yeah.
Well, and I'm just going to tell it for the best of my memory on that, but Ron Spencer had been confronted sometime before this with some people telling him, there's no such thing. Brother Branham didn't go pray for that king. It's not there. It's just not so. And so Brother Ron Spencer was at these meetings, and assuming it was this meeting, but this is where all this come out. Well, there was a man that had come there from Jamaica. I got a picture of him on my phone. Brother Don Furin had posted a picture of it, and I took a picture, captured it on my phone. His brother from Jamaica, his name I think is Thomas Brady. Yep. He was here at these meetings here a few weeks ago. And you could go and you could listen on the tapes. This man had come here to America back in the days when Brother Branham was here. He had married a woman, and she had a disease and became crippled. And he was here visiting, and she had sent a letter here to him, and I think she had expressed her concern and saying she really thought it'd be good if he'd just go find another wife, because she'd never be a good wife for him, you know, because of her crippling. He deserved better than that. So he had this letter, and the person he was visiting with, I think, had a brother. But anyway, they were going to the Branham Tabernacle. So this man from Jamaica went to the Branham Tabernacle. And you can listen to this on What is the Attraction of the Mountain. You can hear the tape. So here's this man from Jamaica, just happens to go. And Brother Branham, at the end of the service, he calls the man out and said, there's a man back there. He's from Jamaica, you know, and his wife's got a problem. He tells him all about it. Got a letter in his pocket or whatever. Just calls him and tells him all about it. Well, by the time the man gets home, his wife's healed. Totally, completely well. Right? Now, you know, people can't call somebody out and say, you're from Jamaica and your wife's at home. And she, you know, that don't happen. That's a prophet does stuff like that. Okay? Right. And so, this man was at these meetings. Well, I guess he was preaching at one of these services or a service for somebody, but Brother Ron Spencer was sitting there, and he said it was really weighing heavy on him. He said, you know, these people, they're saying that Brother Branham didn't pray for the king, you know, and all this stuff, you know. And this man from Jamaica was standing there preaching, and he stops and he says, this might help someone. He said, back in Jamaica, my wife and I were servants in a royal in a home, what was a royal palace or whatever, that the king and queen and the people from England would come there and vacate or whatever. They were servants there. And when his wife came, the I think it was king's sister, I'm not sure, but somebody of the royal family would go there and really liked this man from Jamaica, his wife. But when she come up sick and was crippled and wasn't there for a while, the woman was wondering, where's this gal that I like, this servant that I like? Well, when she got healed, she went back to work. And the next time she run into this royal person from England who is kin to King George, she says, well, where you been? Well, you know, so this is what happened to me, and I was crippled, whatever, you know. And she said, and my husband went to America, and this man by the name of William Branham, this person from England, this royal family member, okay, this royal, their response was, William Branham, I know him. He prayed for King George, and he went golfing the next day. Now, there you have it. God don't have to prove anything to them. But if we'll just set tight, he'll come back and confirm it to you. But you know what? I believe. I believe. I never doubted that. I never doubted that the cloud of Arizona, the angels and all that. I never doubted any of that. Because by the grace of God, the revelation I have is tied to the word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not tied to a man or the successes or failures of a man, including myself. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. God knows what he's doing. We're going to hang to him. Amen. He'll get us through. Amen. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Amen.
So spread your wings.